राधमाधव जय कंजरी हरे। राधमाधव जय कंजरी हरे। हे जानवल्लभ जगरे परार हरे। हे जानवल्लभ जगरे परार हरे। यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन। यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन। यमुना तीरपन छरे जखन जबी हरे। यमुना तीरपन छरे जखन जबी हरे। राधमाधव जखन जबी हरे। कपि जानवल्लभ जगरे परार हरे। जानवल्लभ जगरे परार हरे। यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन। यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन। यमुना तीरपन छरे जय कंजरी हरे। यमुना तीरपन छरे जय कंजरी हरे। जय राधा माधव जय कंजरी हरे।
Gurantaraj Shri Mad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Harinam Sankirtan Yaga Ki Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki All glorious to assembled devotees Shri Shri Radha Damodara Ki Shri Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki Shri Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Gaura Premanandi Hare Krishna, dear Vaishnavas. So, today we are diving into the nectar ocean of Bhagavatam Katha, starting from shloka number 13. I was told yesterday, yes. So Canto 9, Chapter 13, the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. We'll read through 13 to 27 until we reach the shloka number 27 with the Srila Prabhupada's purport. So in this chapter, there is a description of dynasty of Kush, the son of Lord Ramachandra. The members of this dynasty are descendants of Shishad, the son of Maharaj Ikshvaku. So following in the genealogical table of Lord Ramachandra's dynasty, Kusha, the Lord's son, was followed consecutively by Atiti, Nishada, Nabha, Pundarik, Shamadhanva, Devanika, Aniha, Pariyatra, Balasthala, Vajranabh, Sagana, Vidritti. These personalities ruled the world, and from Vidritti came Hiranyabha, who later became the disciple of Jaimini and propounded the system of mystic yoga in which Yajnavalkya was initiated. So following in the dynasty where Pushpa, Dhruvasandhi, Sudarshana, Agnivarna, Sigra, and Maru. Maru attained full perfection in the practice of yoga, and he still lives in the village of Kalapa. At the end of this age of Kali, he will revive the dynasty of the sun god. So next in the dynasty were Prasushrut, Sindhi, Amarshan, Mahasvan, Vishwabahu, Prasenajit, Takshaka, Bridhadbala, who was later killed by Abhimanyu. So Shukadeva Goswami said that there were all kings who passed away. The future descendants of Brihadbala will be Brihadrana, Urukriya, Vatsavridda, Prativyom, Bhanu, Divaka, Sahadev, Brihadashva, Bahunama, Bhanuman, Pratikashva, Supratika, Marudeva, Sunakshatra, Pushkara, Antariksha, Sutapa, Amritijit, Brihadraj, Brihi, Kritanjaya, Rananjaya, Sanjaya, Sakya, Sudhoda, Langala, Prasenajit, Kshudraka, Ranaka, Surata, and Sumitra. All of them will become kings one after another. Sumitra, coming in the sage of Kali, will be the last king in the Ikshvaku dynasty. After him, the dynasty will be extinguished. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We can chant and that will be the last shloka of this chapter first, and then I'll read through the through the previous shlokas. Okay, can you see on the board? Yes, you can see. So let's chant all together. Chapter 9, Canto 9, Chapter 13, Text 27. Ite vai maitilarajan. Ite vai maitilarajan. Atma vidya visharada. Atma vidya visharada. Yogeshvara prasadena. Yogeshvara prasadena. Dvandvair mukta griheshvapi. Dvandvair mukta griheshvapi. Ite vai maitilarajan. Atma vidya visharada. Yogeshvara prasadena. Dvandvair mukta griheshvapi. Chalarajan. Ete, all of them. Vayi, indeed. Mithilaha, the descendants of Mithila. Rajan, O king. Atmavidya Visharada, expert in spiritual knowledge. Yogeshvara Prasadena, by the grace of Yageshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Dvandvai Mukta. They were all freed from the duality of the material world. Griheshwapi. Even though staying at home. Okay, so now I'll read shlokas from number 13 until 27, and I'll continue with the shloka 27 with a purport. And the shloka number 13 is Janmana janaka subhud vaidehastu videhaja mitilo matana jato mitila yena nirmita. Because Maharaj Nimi was born in an unusual way. The son was called Janaka. And because he was born from the dead body of his father, he was known as Vaideha. Because he was born from the churning of his father's material body, he was known as Mithila. And because he constructed a city as King Mithila, the city was called Mithila. So, it's very interesting to read through all those genealogical sequence of different appearances of different kings, and we see that so many unusual happenings of the ways the living entities were born or appeared or take the body is described here, like in Bhagavatam. From the fourth canto, we know that the story of Maharaj Veena, oh, terrible rascal, terrorist king, from whom Prithu Maharaj was born, actually an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, also from by churning the dead body of a person. I don't know how far the medicine is advanced nowadays. Will it be able to, by churning dead body, give a birth to another body, a live body? But here we see that also that the process of giving birth to another living entity by churning the father's material body. Ooh, who can explain how it was done? You can put a dead body into any machine you would like to. Nothing will happen. You can churn, you can burn, you can squeeze, you can, I don't know, mix it in a mixer. Nothing will happen because in Kali Yuga, scientists are, I believe, too gross in their approach to the life force. And in ancient times, we see that the, you know, doctors or brahmanas actually, were such powerful that they could control the symptoms of life. So what does it mean? They could see the symptoms of life in different aspects of this material nature and control it to some extent, to bigger extent at least, than now. I remember I have one friend, academic professor, who was one of the first surgery doctors transplanting the heart. I don't know, it was early 60s or 70s. He was one of the first, and he did the surgery to the father of Fidel Castro and to the some relative of Mikhail Gorbachev, famous doctor. And I spoke with him, and he told that I have to admit that doing a heart transplantation surgery, I was holding a heart of a live heart, which was cut from another patient and put into another's chest. But he said, I could do mechanical activities to transplant the heart, but I had to admit that I felt, and I have to be honest, I felt I am not controlling the life. I can transplant the heart, put another heart into a patient's chest, but I know that the success of a surgery operation, it doesn't depend on me much. I can do my work in the best possible way, but the patient may not survive. So we see that modern medicine is really, really, really advanced in certain ways. But what is subtle, like life force, jiva, is practically uncontrollable. If the person is predestined to die, no apparatus, medical apparatus, no medicine would help him. But here we see that brahmanas, without any advanced technologies or technical apparatus of surgery, they were just able to revive the dead body, or even more, give a new life to another body by chanting the dead body. It's amazing. We can read through those shlokas and think, well, what's a big deal? It's a big deal. It's a big deal, you know. If not it's a big deal, so show me how you can do that. Who can show? Doesn't look like. Shloka number 14. Tasmad udava sustasya putro bhun nandivardhana tata suketus tasyapi divarato mahipate. O King Parikshit, from Mithil came a son named Udavasu. From Udavasu, Nandivardhana. From Nandivardhana, Suketu. And from Suketu, Divarat. Tasmad brihadratastasya mahavirya sudritpita sudritter drishta keturvai haryashvo tamarustataha. From Devata came a son named Brihadratta, and from Brihadratta a son named Mahavirya, who became the father of Sudritti. The son of Sudritti was known as Drishtaketu, and from Drishtaketu came Haryashva. From Haryashva came a son named Maru. So when we read those dynasties, we may wonder why I described. Like, so far I can understand, we are not the descendant of any famous dynasty. At least me, not. I'm just an ordinary conditioned soul. Accidentally appeared in a particular place, a particular family. But here we see that those dynasties are being very carefully named, the names and like that. Which actually stresses the importance of inheritance of the qualities. Yes, of the qualities. Otherwise, what's the use of naming all those names, personalities? But that was the sequence of passing through the ages. the qualities of Maharishis, Rajarshis. Yes, great kings whose mission of life, or whose honor, was to maintain a particular standard of spirituality. And we will read through in the very last shloka 27, Srila Prabhupada will mention about that. That otherwise, you know, who cares who was my grandfather? Grand-grand-grandfather, grand-grand-grand-grandfather. Who cares? Who was he? He was not a Rajarshi in my family. And I don't know. So if he would be some important, famous person, most probably he would be known. Like, I know that one of the forefathers in the family of His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was the person who invented basketball. Yes? So as soon or as long as you are a little bit famous of something, you may be known. But like in our dynasty, in our families, in my family, there are nobody very famous or very important. So who cares? But here we see that all those names are being named because they were important. They contributed to the world. They contributed to the world by their qualities, by their adherence to the Vedic principles and dharma. Yeah? But if you are not follower of Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, who cares who you are or who was in your who were your forefathers? Just another conditioned soul struggling hard to maintain his soul and body together. Struggle and just be a slave in the hands of karma and gunas. So this is really not a big deal. Everyone is in as a slave of his senses, mind. But we see those names are named because they were great. They were great Rajarshis, great kings, great who lived for the sake, not own sake of satisfying their senses, but for the sake of taking care of their subordinates. Yeah, the residents of their countries, of their capital cities, and like that. So a person may become famous if he sacrifices his own personal whatever desires for the sake of doing good or introducing spiritual values in the society. Then the person will be known and glorified. And we see that Lord Krishna teaches that to Arjuna, saying, Arjuna, you are going to give up the battle? Come on, you are descendant of a great family. Yeah? You can't do that. You can't do that whimsically. Oh, I will not fight. Although he gave some reasons, but those reasons were ulterior. But there are superior considerations which cannot be neglected by any means. Cannot. And Krishna told you, first of all, duty. All of us are duty bound. So in Kali Yuga nowadays, people have a very vague idea of what's his duty. He thinks, you know, maintain family, earn money, and then, you know, gratify your senses, which is not. The first and primal duty is serve the Lord, Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das, eternal servant of the Lord. Temporary duties which we are bound by body, by nationality, by gender, yes, but if you neglect your primary duty of serving the Lord, then all the rest becomes meaningless. All the rest is meaningless. What else? What's the advantage if you are a famous musician or rich person or talented artist or whomever, or strong physically person? If you are spiritually ignorant, then Bhagavatam says you are not better than a dead body. Dead body, which is operated by gunas and karma. And you, as a soul, don't take part in it. So that's what's called conditioned soul. Maro pratipa kastasmaj jata kritara to yattaha Devamidhastasya Putra Vishrito Thamaha Drittihi. The son of Maru was Pratipak, and the son of Pratipak was Kritarata. From Kritarata came Devamidha, and from Devamidha Vishruta, and from Vishruta Mahadritti. Kritirata Statatasman Maharoma Chatat Suttaha Svarnaroma sutastasya hrasvaroma vyajayata. From Mahadritti was born a son named Kritirata. From Kritirata was born Maharoma. From Maharoma came a son named Svarnaroma. And from Svarnaroma came Hrasvaroma. Ptashiradvajo jagni yagyartham karshato mahim Sita Shira Gra Tojata Tasmat Shirodvaja Smritaha. From Hrasvaroma came a son named Shiradvaja, also called Janaka. When Shiradvaja was plowing a field, from the front of his plowshare appeared a daughter named Sitadevi, who later became the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Thus he was known as Shiradvaja. So can you imagine? I never heard my father or grandfather telling me about that by plowing a field, you may find a child. And yes, children usually told different stories about how children come to life, like some bird brings, or you know, parents find somewhere for the children. Recently I had one flight, and behind me there was mother with a son. The son maybe was 3 year old or maybe 4 year old, just recently learned to speak. And I was amazed how mother was nicely caring about that boy. There was a 3 hour flight, and all time through she was explaining him something, teaching him, she was reading to him, and all the time she was engaging him in something useful, not just, you know, crying and demanding. No, she kept him all the time busy with different nice explanations. I was surprised how nicely the mother was taking care of the child all the flight. And when we landed, then she asked the boy, "So, my dear son, what else would you like to have, or what else would you like?" And the boy, very innocently, he just said, "Mommy, I would," and he said that very loudly, like half of a plane heard, "Mommy, I would like to have a younger brother." So all the plane just laughed. And he was so innocent, so innocent. "Mommy, I would like to have a younger brother." Oh, that was so funny. But here we see that, you know, we can imagine, well, if we can, how rich the culture and the life during those days was in the universe or in the previous ages. So that, you know, the life force was so strongly visible. Nowadays you can see that people are so sick, they're suffering, they're diseased. And myself, and I'm example, I'm sick. I got cold somewhere. I came from North Europe, where at night it's almost 0 Celsius. It's almost getting freezing temperatures. So I got cold. The bodies in the Kali Yuga are so weak, and gives so much suffering. But in those days, we can see that, you know, life energy was like everywhere. So I believe nowadays, doesn't matter how much you try, hardly you will find a person, a baby somewhere, like appearing from nowhere. Because in Kali Yuga, everything is like impotent. It's not like people even have no faith and have no willpower to do something. They just go by the flow.
Kushadvajastasya putrastato dharmadvajo nripaha dharmadvajasya dvauputrau kritadvaja mitadvajo.
The son of Shiradvaja was Kushadvaja, and the son of Kushadvaja was King Dharmadvaja, and who had 2 sons, namely Kritadvaja and Mitadvaja.
Kritadvajat Kishidvaja Kadikyas tu Mitadvajat Kritadvaja Sutorajan Atmavidya Visharadah Kandikya Karmatatvagyo Bitake Shidvaja Druttaha Bhanumams tasya putrobuch chatadyum nastu tatsuttaha. O Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Kritdvaja was Kishidvaja and the son of Mitadvaja was Kandikya. The son of Kritadvaja was expert in spiritual knowledge and the son of Mitadvaja was expert in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Kandikya fled in fear of Kishidvaja and the son of Kishidvaja was Bhanuman and the son of Bhanuman was Shatadyumna. And here we see that the spiritual qualifications is being pointed out, which is the only that is of some value to consider. Because material qualifications, well, they come and go, and they come with your body, subtle or gross, and are gone by the death. Death takes away. But we see that spiritual qualities, like Kritadvaja was expert in spiritual knowledge. So this is what Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, taught us daily. Read Bhagavatam daily, read Bhagavad Gita, so that by being totally useless in Kali Yuga, at least to be spiritually educated. I don't know about enlightened, but at least educated and practice that spiritual knowledge. Suchistu tana yas tasmat sanadvaja sutobhavat urjaketu sanadvajat ajota purujit suptaha. The son of Shatadyumna was named Suchi. From Suchi Sanadvaja was born, and from Sanadvaja came a son named Urjaketu. The son of Urjaketu was Aja, and the son of Aja was Purajit. Arishtanemis tasyapi shutayustat suparshvaka tatas chitrarartu yasya kshimadhir mitiladhipaha. The son of Purajit was Arishtanemi, and the son of Shrutayu begot a son named Suparshvaka, and Suparshvaka begot Chitraratta. The son of Chitraratta was Kshemadi, who became the king of Mithila. Tasmat Somaratas tasya suta satyaratas tata asid upagurus tasmad upagrupto agni sambhavah. The son of Kshemadhi was Samarata, and his son was Satyarata. The son of Satyarata was Upaguru, and the son of Upaguru was Upagupta, a partial expansion of fire god. So we see their names being named and named and named just to contribute and admire their dependence, dependence to the so glorious dynasties. Like the next chapter is called King Pururava. Yeah. So all those names there, they contributed to the some particular very elevated or some special personality whose story then Bhagavatam elaborates, then Shukadeva Goswami elaborates. So that means that from one point of view, even Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in 17th chapter, he names three types of austerities. One of which is austerity of body. Show respect, honor, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmanas, guru, seniors like father and mother. So we see that Bhagavatam personifies those truths, so that everyone, like in our parampara, also we worship the previous acharyas who contributed to what? That we sit in Chicago temple, that we worship the Kishori, Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra, Gaurani Thai, that Srila Prabhupada, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, fulfilled the mission of his spiritual master and brought that knowledge
for our benefit. Yeah? So all that is a part of spiritual culture, being conscious of predecessors, being conscious of parampara system, being conscious of sampradaya. Yes? And not that, like yesterday, one devotee told me that, I can't understand why there should be a spiritual master between me and God. I told him, sorry, the situation looks a little bit different. It's not that guru between you and God. You are between guru and God. And he introduces you to God, and not you introduce him to God. So, you know, he's not impediment. You are impediment. So be grateful and thankful that somebody like spiritual master introduces you, bringing forth you to God, and not that stands in on the way to God for you. So, you know, the mind is such a rascal, creates different strange ideas. And then you think, well, there are books, there are temples, I can come and do the practice, spiritual practice. But you are ignorant because you can't appreciate and admire the work acharyas, most compassionate, enlightened personalities, worked hard, performed unimaginable, superhuman feats so that you could come to the temple, read the book. Otherwise, build the temple yourself and write the books yourself. But you can't. And just taking advantage of the temple and book and the shastra, saying, why I need a spiritual master? It's a rascaldom. You can't do that. You will never earn or gain the mercy of the Lord or previous acharyas or saintly persons. Never. So to worship previous acharyas and those personalities who contributed to the next story are being named here, so that to glorify and to admire them.
Vasvanantotha tatputro yuyudhoya tsubhashanaha shrutastato jayastasmad vijayasmad ritasutaha. The son of Upagupta was Vasvananta. The son of Vasvananta was Yuyuda. And the son of Yuyuda was Subhashan. And the son of Subhashan was Shruta. The son of Shruta was Jaya. And from there came Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Rita. Shunaka statsuto jagi vitaha vyo dritistataha bahulashvo dritistasya kritirasya mahavasi. The son of Rita was Shunaka, and the son of Shunaka was Vitahavya. The son of Vitahavya was Dhriti, and the son of Dhriti was Bahulashva. The son of Bahulashva was Kriti, and his son was Mahavashi. Etevai Maitilarajan Atmavidya Visharada Yogeshvara Prasadina Dvandvair Muktagrihishvapi. Today's shloka, the last one in this chapter, and we'll go through the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, all the kings of dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, elaborate, saying that this material world is called Dvaita, or duality. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 476 says, Dvaite badra badra gyana sabha mano dharma e bhala e manda e sabha brahma. In the world of duality, that is to say, in the material world, so-called goodness and badness are both the same.
Therefore, in this world, to distinguish between good and bad, happiness and distress, is meaningless. Because they are both mental concoctions, mano-dharma. Because everything here is miserable and troublesome, to create an artificial situation and present it to be full of happiness is simply illusion. So the liberated person, being above the influence of the three modes of material nature, is unaffected by such dualities in all circumstances. He remains Krishna conscious by tolerating the so-called happiness and distress. So this is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.14. Matrasparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukadukada agamapaino nityas tamstitikshasva bharataha. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Those who are liberated, being on the transcendental platform of rendering service to the Lord, do not care about so-called happiness and distress. They know that there are like changing seasons, which are perceivable by contact with the material body. Happiness and distress come and go. Therefore, a pandit, a learned man, is not concerned with all that. As it is said, gatasun agatasumscha nanushu chanti panditaha. The body is dead from the very beginning because it is a lump of matter. It has no feelings of happiness and distress because the soul within the body is in the bodily concept of life. He suffers happiness and distress, but these come and go. It is understood herewith that the kings born in the dynasty of Mithila were all liberated persons. Unaffected by the so-called happiness and distress of this world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 9th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Ite vai Mithila rajan atma vidya visharadah yogeshvara prasadena dvandvair muktagrish api. Shukadeva Goswami said that, my dear king, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence. What's the time to finish the class? 8:30. Okay, few minutes. Conclusion. It's okay. I want to obey the rules and regulations of the temple. And so here is the conclusion which Srila Prabhupada nicely said, that everyone is living by the chasing after happiness and running away of suffering. Yeah? Everyone in this world chase after the happiness. What? You even have a bank chase, isn't it? Yeah, so everyone is meditating on the happiness locked in the safe of the bank chase. And everyone tries to escape the suffering. But Srila Prabhupada says, there is no reason to react to happiness or suffering. It just comes and goes. How do we react to the changes of weather? Just tolerate. Just tolerate. What you can do, just tolerate. If it's raining, we use umbrella. Too heavy. If it's cold, we put more dress, coats. And that's it. And we don't give too much, too much attention to all that. Because otherwise it distracts from the main main activity of performing the devotional service. And interesting to say that if you are in complete knowledge of the spiritual identity, it's also very, very, very interesting expression, knowledge of the spiritual identity. It's not a feeling of the spiritual identity, yes? I feel I am not this body. No. I know I am not this body. Yes? It doesn't mean much how do you feel. What matters is the reality. And the reality is I am spirit soul. I am spirit soul. And sometimes and we can see that a conditioned soul being enslaved with the dictatorship of mind puts so much stress on how I feel. Well, even if in my own life I will not feel I am a soul, so what? And if I feel I am a soul, so what's the gain? Because the nature of the mind is chanchala. One day you feel, next you don't. 1 minute you feel, the next you feel something else. So this is not the person to depend upon, mind. No. Knowledge, intelligence, yes? And this you have to practice regularly, like those kings which we read with Shukadeva Goswami. Take time to name all of them. So that means there should be importance to that. If he named to Maharaj Parikshit all those names of those great kings, he concluded saying that all of them were liberated, even staying at home. Wow. Means they were also family members, grihastas, but they were not grihamedis, they were grihastas, yeah, performing their primal duties to serve the Lord, yeah, and to pass the principles of Dharma to the next generation. So it's our duty. It's our duty. The disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, gave us wonderful temples, golden painted. Amazing. The deities, worship system, Shastra system. So what will be our contribution to the next generation? And we have to add value to ISKCON so that next generations would add value to as well. So by preaching, by book distribution, by Harinam Sankirtan, we have to add the value to this world, spiritual value, because there is no use of adding material value. Invent some new car, plane, rocket, another type of transportation. No value. Add spiritual value to the world. Contribute by making conditioned souls more conscious of their real identity, which is stressed out here. Shukadeva Goswami stresses out here in the shloka. They were all in the knowledge of their real identity, means spirit soul. And the question is, did I made in my life at least one person conscious of his spiritual identity? Usually we have hard time explaining this knowledge to parents, to relatives, to friends. Usually they're not impressed or don't want to hear. But still we have to continue. Like Srila Prabhupada said, I gave up my family, but then Krishna sent me thousands of young people who are my sons and daughters, ready to follow any word of mine. So it's our duty. It's not an option. Oh, well, no. It's a duty. We have to. We have to help conditioned souls with the transcendental knowledge, help them become more conscious of their spiritual identity. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi. Thank you very much. Yes. We can talk.